Yes, indeed, that intro is hot here on this Thursday, October 19th. Welcome in to the Lowdown. We thank you so much for being with us. I'm Damian Barling, along with the icon, the main event, the showstopper, one Jason Herbert Walker Ross. Jason, one game in the books, man. How you feeling?
I'm down.
Yeah?
0-1.
It was a tough loss to the Houston Astros last night.
Yeah, the Comets got them.
Five slam pajamas, a bitch. Just ate them up.
How do they stop them?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But the Kings took a lot of losses to the entire city of Houston yesterday.
He almost said something really bad, but I decided not to.
Good.
Okay, well, I'm glad you didn't. Thank you for restraining yourself, Christopher.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not down on that game.
Nor should you be. And we'll talk a great deal about the Sacramento Kings opening night loss at the Golden 1 Center to the Houston Rockets here in just a heartbeat. We'll talk a lot of basketball this hour. There's some really fun stuff. I watched about four consolidated games this morning.
Okay,
I'm really loving that feature of all of the apps. The Sunday Ticket app has the football games you can watch in like 30 minutes. The NBA app has, you know, something very similar. I was able to watch a bunch of the Sixers and Wizards in real time. I watched as much of Giannis Antetokounmpo as I could. We'll talk baseball. Like, you got to feel pretty good about where your New York Yankees are. We'll talk about that. Are the Cubs prolonging the agony, or is this the start of something? We'll talk about all that this first hour. By the way, week 7 of the NFL season starts tonight, and it starts with the big one, and it starts with your Oakland Raiders.
A huge game for them. A humongous game for
them. Dude, Jim Rome went full on, this is the season. Like, I don't hear him very often, but I heard that this morning.
It's close. I would agree with it. It's closer to that than not, to me. I mean, it's critical for the Raiders.
Well, we're going to approach this game from a different perspective. Blair Kirchhoff of the Kansas City Star will be with us at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. And of course, with the new NFL week getting underway, Nate Lundy, our fantasy football expert, will be with us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. You could jump in here on the text line. Don't send your fantasy football questions yet, though. They will get lost. You want to send those at 2 o'clock. That way they're right here at the top of the screen, and we can get those out to Nate. So that's just kind of the lay of the land of what we got going on here this Thursday. Again, we thank you so much for being here with us and spending part of your day with us. If you're listening on the radio.com app, or if you're listening on KHDK.com, or if you're listening on Sports 1140, all the same, we greatly appreciate it. Kings lost last night to the Rockets at the Golden 1 Center, 105-100. As you said, you're not sad about it, though.
No, and I don't want to be, hey, good job, good effort guy all season long, but it's the first game. It's a bunch of young guys. You're playing a team we can all admit is better than the Kings. That's easy to say. That's fine. And they were in the game. I don't know if I ever felt they were going to win, but I didn't ever feel they were out of the game. Mm-hmm. I thought they took 4 or 5 punches from the Rockets where it was like, uh-oh, here's that explosion, this 7-0 run, 9-0 run, 10-0 run. They responded, got back in the game, took the lead multiple times. And I thought they defended for the most part pretty well. There was a couple lapses, but I liked a lot of what I saw. They were exciting. They were entertaining. There were moments where you went, okay, it's rough. But that's what you're going to get with a new group. It's the most inexperienced returning team as far as number of minutes shared from the year before in the entire NBA. And I think, I mean, Coach Yeager said it, and people may not want to hear it, but they're just in a different spot than, okay, we'll take the extreme, but the Warriors, right? They pretty much can show up and go to level 3, 4, 5 of practice, detail, intricate things. This is what we run on. These are exact switches. This is our late game. Kings are learning each other. And so it's going to take a little bit of time. But for their first kind of their premier outing, I liked a lot of what I saw.
And I think that's one thing that we should talk about before we get into the different intricacies of the game. There's already a bunch of text here. You guys are going to talk about the call at the end of the game. Of course we are. That's a big part of the game. And there's actually a very, very clear explanation for it. Here's my thoughts on everything that you just said. Kings fans, in last night's game played out exactly like I feel like the season might play out. If you get games like that against Kings fans, I used the term with you in our pre-show meeting, participation trophy.
Yeah.
Kings fans really need to get used to embracing a participation trophy, because when you lose games like you lost last night against teams like the Houston Rockets, it's okay. Golden State Warriors, fine. Cleveland, fine. Washington, fine. Celtics, fine. There's a handful of teams that if you play like that and you lose to, you just have to accept that that's okay. You don't want those games against Brooklyn's and against Phoenix's and against, you know, Orlando's and Chicago's. You don't want those games against those teams. But the type of play that they had last night against an elite team, a team that beat the defending champs the night before and came in here down a point guard. You know, obviously the Kings were down guys too, but that last night played out, I think, beautifully for them. They got down, you know, as much as how many?
11 or 12
there, even there in the fourth quarter, and were able to cut it, and put themselves in a position to where the game was close in the final few minutes.
Yeah, and I think everything about this year, they don't have an all-star. They had one. Now they're trying to find the next one. You're trying to get closer to seeing who are the guys that will be a part of the equation next year and the year after, and people that you're going to build around. And so when you start Willie and Scal and you see double-doubles at the end of the night, all right, that's encouraging. De'Aaron Fox, again, one game, a couple of preseason games, has all the makings of something pretty special. And that's, again, very, very early, but he has the ingredients that you just go, all right, that looks like he's going to be a special piece for this team.
Not just on the floor, not just athletically, just looking here at the text line, judging by the messages we got on social media last night, we've clamored for the star, the guy that you couldn't grasp on to DeMarcus because DeMarcus was his personality. You just couldn't cling to him. Now, a lot of people love DeMarcus.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. But just to universally embrace him, to not have that divide, De'Aaron Fox is Bobby. Like, that's who I could – like, just one game in, 5 months into his time in Sacramento or however long it's been, he is already – like, there were oohs and ahs in – every little thing that he did last night.
And literally the little thing, like not takes to the back, like just a behind-the-back dribble that he was on the wing. Ooh, like he didn't go anywhere. But it was – everybody was – and there, all the eyes were on him.
And it's difficult to put into words because you hear people talk about speed. You hear people talk about quickness. And it just becomes like, dude, you guys are using buzzwords to describe a player.
People who watched last night know.
No. Like, there's, like, I don't know. And I'm not trying to be dramatic or stupid or clever here. It looks like he has a legit superpower when he's out on the court. You just see him do, like, he was just standing next to the guy and he passed him that quick. And he did that repeatedly going to the basket. And that's just one of those fun things to watch. I think he's the perfect ingredient for the Sacramento Kings organization and the perfect ingredient, and I think this is even, you know, more important for the Sacramento community. Like this guy's going to get the minutes that DeMarcus got. And in time, I think he'll have the productivity to, you know,
in a different level to
what DeMarcus had, but he'll have the personality and the love that you got from Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
And when you combine those two, I think that's what Bobby Jackson was. Mm-hmm. That's what I think you're going to get from De'Aaron
Fox. That's a great way to word it, Damian, because we all know talent-wise, if there was – and you can't change people's personality. DeMarcus was who he was, and there was a portion that liked him, a portion that didn't. A
portion that loved him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very much so.
But you could have just imagine if he had a different way about him, would he not have been just an absolute all-time legend here? I mean, really, he could have – because some of the things he did community-wide were great. We all can acknowledge that. But just a different way that he went about things that wasn't appealing to everybody. But Fox, even really the entire team, just it's a very likable team.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they win 40 games, but they're likable. They're enjoyable. I think coach likes them. And if they can put together pieces and stretches and build more talent around them, ultimately, they'll get there.
Yeah, and I think that's what we've been saying for, you know, months now. You're going to have more fun at the arena.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have more fun watching the games. That's just, it doesn't equate to 40 wins.
Right.
And if it does, hey, hell, we're all surprised.
Schedule. Yeah.
Yeah, we're all, they're the New York Yankees.
Sure.
New York Yankees significantly ahead of schedule. So it's not like it can't be done. But there are so many positives to take away from what the Kings did last night. just looking at the text line, you know, different energy, so much more positive. And I know a number of the texts that have already come in here. 44-11-40, I want to put this out there, too. We mentioned Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star with us at 1, Nate Lundy at 2. So this is the only hour where we don't have any guests. So if you want to jump in and talk about the Kings or talk about anything in the NBA last night, if you want to talk, period, this is the perfect hour to do it. 916-339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You mentioned some of the in-game stuff. Let's get to the to the final few seconds there that a lot of people were upset about, and I spent a lot of time on social media discussing with Sacramento Kings fans and people who listen to the show discussing that final play with them. I didn't see it. No one saw it. No one saw the foul called. And on the play where, you know, it looks like George Hill gets the steal, I'm going to bring this to your attention. I'm going to bring the attention to a game that I'm confident no one was watching. Not many people were watching. Game 5, which is the equivalent of Game 7 of the WNBA Finals. The microphone caught Candace Parker coming out to the court saying, "We're not going to foul." She's yelling at the referees, "We are not fouling right here. We're playing the ball. We're not fouling. We're not fouling." Referees have a tendency to blow the whistle when they expect something. You've seen veterans like Chris Paul do this before. "Hey, we're not fouling here. We're going to play defense." You've seen a number of guys do that before. Because it was a bank shot inbound, no one had a chance to tell him, "We're defending the ball here. We're not trying to foul." George Hill defended the ball, knocked it out. One ref, and this is the part that's frustrating. This is where they got it wrong. The ref who was in front of the play called the ball out of bounds. It was so loud in there. Scott Moak reacted to the referee that he saw. The referee on the baseline, though, called a foul. I didn't see it on the first time I rewatched it on TV, but I saw it on the second. He called a foul immediately, and when the other referee who called the out-of-bounds play, who said out-of-bounds Kings ball, the referee who called the foul immediately blew his whistle again, as in, like, "No, no, 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 no. I called a foul here." He went over and he talked to the referee, and then it became, you know, by the time he was finished talking with the referee, it became, "I forgot who I called the foul on." Because normally you see a referee call a foul, go to the scorer's table. That's when Scott or whatever PA announcer announces foul on so-and-so, and they go from there. What really got lost for the TV viewer is no one explained that to the broadcast crew.
Right.
So Grant comes back on confused in that they were reviewing who the foul was called on. And Grant is like us. He's like, "I didn't know there was a foul call." And no one told them there was a foul called. So it sounds like they went in, reviewed, and retroactively called a foul.
Yeah.
That 1,000% did not happen. You just didn't hear it. You just didn't see it. But if you watch the television replay, not only do you see the referee call the foul, but you have to be looking directly at Adam because you won't hear it. You'll see the referee call the foul, and then you'll see Chris Paul during the review tell Mike D'Antoni, "Hey," and he says the ref's name. I don't know the ref's name. He says, "Hey, so-and-so called a foul."
Yeah, it was Derek Richardson, I believe.
I knew it was something with a D. I kept thinking he was saying Daryl. So he says, "Hey, Derek called a foul."
Yeah.
And so it happened. Like, the foul was there. I know people didn't think it was. I know people thought they retroactively did it a different way or invented some sort of new rule. No, the foul was called. It's just in the moment, you didn't hear it, especially in the arena. And if you were watching on TV, unfortunately, it wasn't explained to the TV crew to get that point across.
Nor to us on the radio. So we're on the radio, and naturally, everybody in the arena watches the ball. I mean, that's where the action is. What we see is what you described, the referee closest to the play, which in this case was Kevin Scott, the youngest of the three officials, calls it out, and he even signaled replay review. Well, we've all seen that. You want to get the call right. We're going to be looking at a replay of who touched the ball last. In arena, we're looking at the same thing. We're looking at the big board going, "Oh, no, I think that's off Eric Gordon. I think it is. It's going to be King's ball." On radio, we have the luxury of actually hearing the interplay between the referees on the court and the replay in New Jersey. And right away, they start asking, "Okay, where's the foul? We want to see the trigger for the foul." I'm thinking, you can't review fouls unless it's flagrant.
Right.
But it's exactly what you described, and nobody in arena, I didn't see the official who was honestly farthest away from the play, but he can call it.
And that's the thing. That's the thing worth pointing out right there. We're not excusing this as a good call.
Right.
There was no foul. It was a bad call. And I think the referee, I think he anticipated
yeah.
George Hill trying to foul, and he blew the whistle, because many times teams will go to foul and the refs won't blow the whistle quick enough, and then they'll be mad. You know, a team will be mad. They'll be yelling, hey, I was fouling, because they lost, you know, a second and a half or 2 seconds or whatever. I think he was anticipating a call that he didn't have to make, and it just there's no chicanery.
Right.
It was just a really bad foul call.
Yeah, and what was great in-game, our radio producer, Dave Deuce Mason, emailed Joe Borgia, who's in the room, who's the head of officials, and they actually encourage this because they want to get – they don't want people out there, as far as broadcast crews, ripping the play as opposed to, hey, here's what happened, mm-hmm. here's our explanation. He got right back to Deuce on an email, and his clarification was exactly what you said. Quote, one official called a foul on the play. He lost who was actually fouled, so they came to replay to see who the foul was on and who the shooter would be.
Yep.
So they also have to get the exact time of the foul. That's exactly what replay was. In arena, we're all thinking it's who touched the ball last. That became irrelevant, even though that's what we thought was happening. It just became a very strange scenario and an unfortunate circumstance, but that's the way it played out.
Text Nation, I can't read your calls you can't read your text if you're using bad language, guys. Ooh. Come on. A lot of people not pleased with that final call, yeah. and rightfully so.
Yep.
It was a bad call. Hey, it was the ref's first game, too. Like, I mean, I don't know what to yeah. say. Like, it was just not a good call there. And this is the one, this text right here is the one that makes the most sense that will frustrate Kings fans. So the guy on the far end of the court, blocked by the other players, is the one who made the potential game-changing call.
Well worded.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's reality.
That's actually exactly what happened.
Yeah.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. John, what's happening, brother?
Hey, fellas, what's up? Just listening to the show, you know, and it brings up my frustrations again from the ones that I had last night. You know, I got this new projector out in my backyard, 120-inch screen, so you know, the weather's going to get cold, and we wanted to watch the first Kings game out there. We're all hyped up, excited to see the new cast of characters, and it was an awesome game, you know. But to sit there and invest, you know, 2 hours of time, and time again, I mean, this goes back to 2002, 2003. I'm just sick and tired of it. Just get the thing right. Don't go to the replay booth and realize that there really wasn't a foul at all. And get it right and come back out and say, you know what, it is King's ball, and then let's watch the three-pointer go in and go to overtime and win the game. I'm sick and tired of it, man. I seriously feel like we have there's a vendetta against us with these officials sometimes. We never seem to get the close judgment calls to go our way, and it costs us wins in the win column. And I'm just tired of it. And it's not the refs' first game. They've been reffing for years. This is their career. Get it right. That's all I got to say. I'm just frustrated, man.
I hadn't noticed.
Yeah.
Didn't notice
yeah.
at all. Couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
Couldn't hear
yeah.
your frustration. John, we appreciate you. We understand the Kings' yeah. frustration. The point was it's their first game of the season. It was a bad call. Yeah. Like, it sucks when bad calls happen in the final 30 seconds. It sucks when bad calls happen, you know, when you feel like, if nothing else, their momentum changing.
Right.
Right? Yes. It sucks. I hate it. You hate it. We all hate it. Or regardless if it's the Sacramento Kings or another game, if it's the Raiders, if it's a football game
your
we're
team.
Invested in, if it's an over-under we bet on,
yeah.
it's frustrating, and I understand that.
Yeah, the small print, he also, from Joe Borgia, yeah, and make sure the Kings lose. I mean, that's not what's
well,
going on.
Yeah, no, I think it is. That's yeah. legit. We'll ask Doug Christie how he feels yeah. about that sentiment. Jimmy, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great, good. Man.
Yeah, I love the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I understand the last guy's frustration. I'm a Niner fan, so I ain't a referee. They beat us every game. But, no, I wanted to kind of basically not hit on the last call because, you know, we all know that was, you know, pretty bogus. But as far as the game is concerned, I like what we've seen from, you know, Fox. Willie Cauley-Stein really stood out to me. I was a big critic of him all last year and all offseason because I – never really see the guy working, but he came out and put on a good show. And it's the first time really I probably just sat back, watched the game, and didn't complain about having DeMarcus Cousins. As much as I love Cousins, and I wasn't okay with them giving him away like that, this is the first time I could really just sit back and say, okay, our team isn't that bad. We're going in a good direction, and the young guys look like they can play. Hopefully Jackson steps up because my North Carolina guy, and I've been bragging about him all off season, so I need him to play good.
There you go. Right on, Jimmy. We appreciate you, man. And thanks for the kind words about the show, man. We really appreciate that. Let's touch on that here real quick. And we'll leave these. Everyone hang tight. I promise we'll get everyone on. We'll spend a great deal of time talking about the Kings and the NBA last night. Justin Jackson, the starting lineup.
That surprised me.
Obviously, we went over a number of scenarios about potential starting lineups. We had people calling and texting about potential starting lineups. One or both. Justin Jackson and
as far as starters?
Yeah.
It was Scal, Willie,
Scal,
Justin.
Scal was the other one. Mm-hmm. Scal was the other one. One or both because Zebo and Bogdan was hurt?
I think one for sure. I thought Justin Zebo
Jackson.
Starting.
Did you think Justin Jackson starting in place of Zach Randolph?
No, I think he started at I don't think they have an answer at small forward.
Okay.
I think Zebo might have started over Scal.
Okay.
I think, based on, I guessing, but, you know, Justin was the only one that played under 20 minutes of the starters. The others mm-hmm. were over 30.
Yeah.
And he went to Temple first and Vint. So, I don't know. Maybe Bogdanovich will. But I could see quickly, Damian, where Fox will start. Mm-hmm. I don't know how soon. And then maybe it's Fox and Hill with Buddy off the bench or with Buddy or Bogdanovich in. I don't know. Fox is going to get major minutes here soon.
Ahmad, what's happening, buddy? Great to hear from you again.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I was at the game last night, and I just had a quick question. So I was confused on the last play. Why would they have a video review if there was a foul call? Like, if the ref had talked about it and one of the refs said, oh, I called a foul, what was the point of going to the video review? Because you can't review a foul call.
Right. So what happened was, Ahmad, is they called a foul. One referee called a foul. One referee called it out of bounds. When the referee who called the foul came over to explain to the other referee that he had called a foul, and that overrides the call of it being King's ball, he lost track of who he called the foul on.
Yeah.
Because instead of going to the scorer's table and saying, hey, foul on number, you know, three or whatever, whoever, he went over to the referee. And so they had to go back. Who committed the foul, and then while they were there on the video review, they looked at the time, they got everything set, and went from there.
Sure they had the right shooter, all of that. It was going to be Gordon, yeah. I mean, it's weird, it's not normal, but by once the foul is called, it eliminates everything else.
It was a strange set of circumstances.
Yep.
I mean, if that happens again in this 82-game season, I'd be surprised.
That's a good point.
That's that's just how I'd look at it. Adam and Carl, we see both of you guys. Text line is on fire this morning, this afternoon
good.
As well, 44-1140. If you want to jump in, this is the perfect hour to do it, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We'll talk more about your Kings. A couple of more storylines we want to touch on last night from the Golden 1 Center, and it was a fun night in the NBA. Giannis Antetokounmpo, MVP, too soon? We'll overreact a little bit as well to game one. We're just getting started, man. It's going to be a fun day here on the Lowdown. Did you by any chance see the fake James Harden at the game last night?
Second time or third time I've seen him.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
It's you know, fake Clay was at Oracle the other day.
Fake Clay was like right behind real Clay on the bench, which was nuts.
But fake James Harden is really working hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like fake Clay puts on a jersey.
Shaped the goatee.
Kind of looks like him.
Mm-hmm.
Fake Harden grows the beard out.
Yeah.
Mohawk. Jersey looks like him.
Got the Adidas shoes.
Yeah, but there's a lot of work there. But I did see him.
So are you applauding the effort or rolling your eyes at the effort? I can't tell.
I'm closer to rolling my eyes.
That's what I thought.
It's a lot of effort.
It felt. I felt.
But it's amusing.
It is. Yeah. He got some love last night. Got some Twitter love and some. Took a lot of pictures with fans while he was out
there. Because we're doing the post. He's still down there post. Like he's waiting for. I don't know. To get a contract or something.
Now I know that the Nike jerseys are being ridiculed because LeBron's got ripped in game one of the NBA season. But that was the first time I had we walk in by the team. That was the first time I've seen the new like Nike gear. Man, that stuff is nice. Mm-hmm. That new Kings gear is really nice.
Yeah.
It's like this is some high end stuff. I might have
Mr.
to invest.
Nike.
But, well, no, I try not to wear, you know.
Anything but
Well, I don't like this Jason Ross right now. I'm going to tell you that right now. This is not a top two Jason Ross. I'll tell you that. It's more like 5 through 6.
Yeah.
Jason has a mean streak that you guys don't know about. Adam, get your boy.
What's happening, guys?
Hey, Adam.
Please, I want to talk about the game last night. I could talk about De'Aaron and his unbelievable quickness. I could talk about Scal and his impression of a unicorn on stilts. I want to talk about Willie, though, because before the season started, Willie was saying, you know, he wanted to be the go-to guy, be the leader of the team and stuff, and that kind of worried me a little bit, because in his game, I didn't really see enough go-to guy leader of the team in him. And in the first, like, I want to say, like, 2 minutes of the game, he kind of put up a bad shot, and I thought to myself, oh, man, he thinks he's going to be Marcus Cousins now. And after a couple minutes, I think he missed one more shot. Then he cleaned up a rebound and got an easy putback. And ever since that putback in the first quarter, he did everything that I want Willie to do on a consistent basis. He didn't take a whole lot of jumpers. He mainly rim-runned and defended the paint and then cleaned up the rebounds and got in easy putbacks. And, you know, I'm not expecting 20 and 10 every night from Willie, but if we can get 10 rebounds and maybe just 10 to 15 points on putbacks alone, I will be more than happy with what Willie gives us this year. And last thing I want to mention, too, is I loved the energy in that crowd last night. I've been to every home opener for the last, like, 5-6 years, and it just felt like the fans were just so happy to just watch a basketball team and not have to worry about any kind of off-court or on-court drama. And, you know, it was just a fun game. It was a fun atmosphere. I'm looking forward to the season. Good show to you guys.
Great stuff, Adam, man. We appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much, man. He really broke down Willie's one game this season.
But I feel like he's spot on, because I didn't think Willie had a very strong preseason, and I thought the way he started, I felt the same way. I'm like, oh, Willie.
Yeah.
And I don't know if maybe he missed his first three or four, because by the end?
He missed at least three.
Super efficient. He's 10 of 15. And I'm spot on with Adam, too, where the 21 points is great. It's nice, really nice. But if he gets the 10 rebounds and the 3 blocks a night, that's what this team needs.
I was ridiculously giddy like 7 minutes into the game because the Rockets were on pace to shoot 40 threes in the half.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
I'm like, are they going to do this for real?
Yeah.
They just would waltz up the floor, pop.
Yeah. And some of them were like 6 feet beyond. I'm like, okay, we know you can shoot, but really? Why that far?
I was sitting up there in the media area. We were cracking up at this. And then, you know, they'd miss four. They'd come down and hit one, and it'd be a one-possession game again. You know, or they'd come down, they'd hit two, and they'd be up by three again. And it's like,
they're explosive.
This is their technique. Like, this is really what they're going with. They ended, what, with 45? Yeah, they did not shoot well from three last night at all, but it was just funny watching them walk up the floor time after time after time and just jag it up.
Yeah.
Jag it up.
And besides what Adam said, the feel in the building, the difference to me, the other of not having DeMarcus around, this is one that's a negative for the Kings. He was really good at getting other teams in foul trouble because bigs couldn't guard him, reach in fouls, touch fouls, whatever. And I think in games that DeMarcus is in, there are just more calls. I think there are more whistles for a lot of different reasons. And so DeMarcus would get the other teams in the penalty, and now Darren Collison's going to the line, or Aaron Aflalo's going to the line on a touch foul, or Tolliver or Temple, guys that could shoot free throws. Last night, Damian, they had 4 free throws until late in the game, and they ended with, what, 10?
Yeah.
I mean, the Rockets took 29 because Harden's going to the basket and driving, and that's a huge discrepancy.
James Harden, I think, is going to lead the league in free throw shooting for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
Like, he is so good at getting to the basket and getting a call.
And selling it.
And he does not shy away from that at all. We'll step outside the box while we're acknowledging the Houston Rockets here for a few minutes. Clint Capella's had a pretty good start to his season.
Yeah.
He is kind of sometimes the forgotten guy. Mm-hmm. We know he's important. We just don't really think much about him. But he's had a really good first two games. I mean, the Rockets right now are on pace to break the Golden State Warriors record for wins.
Yeah, I think it was that was a good win for them last night. I think Mike D'Antoni used the word, we get to validate the Warrior win. They needed to beat Sacramento. And not that the Kings are better than the Warriors. None of that. It's just, hey, that's a great win. You kind of sneak in and get one on the Warriors. A great comeback. But back it up with another one. And I thought that was – they just kind of found a way through that. They weren't completely sharp. I think the Kings in the energy and all that made it very, very compelling and right down to the end. But they found a way, and Chris Paul's a huge part of what they're going to do, and he didn't play. So I think that was it was a good win for them.
There were a lot of good games in the NBA last night. I don't know necessarily good games. There was good performances. I was damn near giddy watching the 76ers and the Wizards play mm-hmm. last night. That was
– Simmons looked good.
Okay. 1 o'clock hour, we need to do some overreactions because I'm watching him, and I immediately – I'm starting to think, okay, East, where, okay, I'm jotting stuff down. I got a Ben Simmons overreaction way bigger than Rookie of the Year. We'll have that coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll do some overreactions just around the league. Oh, over the minutes restriction for your boy is apparently an overreaction as well. We had a conversation about this yesterday, about if he's on a minutes restriction, just hold him out.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, let him play. And, you know, there was a lot of dialogue here on the text line and in between us about what the minutes restriction was for. And I had seen 20 minutes posted, but I was like, there's no way. It can't be 20 minutes. It's got to be closer to 25. That was the number. It was 20 minutes. He played 27 last night. So perhaps they're throwing the minutes restriction out the door. And Bede was just like, look, man, let's take it game by game. Don't put this restriction out there. If I come into the game a little bit sore, you know, maybe that's the day it's 15 to 18 minutes or 20 minutes or something like that. But don't tell me one game in that I can't play more than 20 minutes.
Right.
And I think he was at 13 at halftime. And the guys, I think, you know, well, he's only going to play 7 more minutes. You better get the most out of his 7 minutes.
Make it quality.
Everything that we wanted from Philadelphia, we got.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we thought would be there again with Washington was.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams were very good. Your John Wall was fantastic again.
So was Beal.
Oh man, they were.
That was experience, right?
Right, and that's where I wonder if when I said I think that the Wizards, you know, obviously I understand the connotation of this remark is entirely different now after the Gordon Hayward injury. But when we said before the season that I think the Wizards might be able to finish second rather than third, because I still think Cleveland is going to take the regular season a little bit more seriously this year. I feel like the continuity of the team is there. I don't know what it was that made them struggle last year with Scottie Brooks, and the talent was the same. Everything, you know, it just took them a while to get going. I don't think that learning curve is there anymore. I think they're going to have a strong 82 games.
I believe it too. I really like the backcourt and just the continuity of staying together and the experience. They've been in the battles.
We'll come back. We'll continue to take your phone calls, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. A historic blowout in Phoenix yesterday. We'll touch on that. Plus, we'll give you an update on the major. Your boys, your New York Yankees, they sweep at the stadium, but now it's headed back to Houston. What's that mean? That's next on the Lowdown. Hey, we got tickets to see the Sac State Hornets football team against Northern Colorado, the juggernaut that
Cheers
is
up.
Northern Colorado. That's coming up on November 4th. We're going to lose you tomorrow because you got Sac State business to attend to.
Yeah, traveling to North Dakota. Want to go?
You want to do that? No.
No. No, Thank I don't want to do that again.
No, you don't? No. Okay.
But you want to go?
Wisconsin.
What's that?
Sounds more Wisconsin.
Are they the same?
They're two different states.
Well, I know, but isn't the accent roughly the same?
No.
What's your North Dakota accent?
I don't know. Didn't sound North Dakotan.
But it sounded like Wisconsin?
I thought you were Paul Ryan right there. Wow. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
Things just got weird.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's
talk about
flavored vodka.
God bless it. Dude, I'm telling you, I'm making my stop at BevMo today. I'm getting my can we take 2 seconds to thank the number of people who stopped myself and Jason last night at the arena, whether we were together or separate, to say that they listened to the show. We really appreciate that. It's always funny. You know, we were actually talking about this privately, but it's always funny the stuff that people remember. It's never a conversation about the Kings or DeMarcus Cousins or
some hot take.
Never some great prediction about how the Chiefs were going to beat the Patriots in week one. Nope. It's flavored vodka. It's TGIF.
Yeah.
It's Jason never seeing an episode of, you know, Family Matters or whatever it is.
Misquoting Paula and Janet Jackson.
Balky Bar Takamus. Uh-huh. Like that stuff.
Like, that's what you.
That's the stuff that's brought to our attention. So I asked, it was Louie. I said, look, Louie stopped us. I hope he's listening now. do you drink flavored vodka? And he just buried me right there. Yeah. He goes, oh, no, but it's okay. Like, that's fine that you do. My wife drinks it.
Yeah. It's like, you're like, you're not helping my
thanks,
case.
Louis.
Yeah.
I'm 6 feet
you
deep
were done
now.
With him then.
Greatly appreciate it, Louis. Get lost.
Yeah.
Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star is going to join us at 1 o'clock. I know we're having a lot of fun talking about the Sacramento Kings. We're going to have to shift gears here pretty quick because the Oakland Raiders play tonight. Week 7 of the NFL season starts tonight. And we're going to get a different perspective here as we're going to talk with Blair. You know, he covers the Kansas City Chiefs. I know the Raiders are more desperate, but
yes.
The Chiefs are coming off obviously both teams are coming off a short week where they got their first loss, and they did a lot of things wrong in that game against Pittsburgh. The biggest being they couldn't defend the run.
Mm-hmm.
Like Le'Veon Bell took the ball 32 times, and they couldn't adjust through the entire game. I thought at first maybe this is the boost that Marshawn Lynch would need. And now I'm wondering if Kansas City just went into that locker room going, man, we really screwed this up. We know what we have to do.
Yeah.
We know how to make these adjustments.
Well, and can the Raiders run that effect? I mean, they don't have Le'Veon Bell. They haven't been running that well. They may want to. That may be part of the plan, but can they do that?
What can they do at
right.
this point? Like, that's another thought is, okay, we're going to go with Derek Carr because that hasn't worked either.
Right.
But we'll talk with Blair at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Again, he covers the Chiefs for the Kansas City Star. And we'll have the Chiefs and Raiders for you tonight beginning at 5 o'clock. Nate Lundy, of course, will be with us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, host of the Fantasy Football Hour. Help you get your fantasy roster set. Hold your questions. Write them down. Jot them down. Put them in the notes column of your phone, whatever you got to do. But don't text them just yet because they'll get lost in the shuffle here over the next hour and 10 minutes. But right at 2 o'clock, we'll make sure he answers all your questions. Andrew Wiggins, 26 last night. LaMarcus Aldridge had 25. Spurs went on to beat the T-Wolves. Not necessarily a spectacular debut for Jimmy Butler.
No. What, did he have a dozen?
Yeah. About that?
Yeah.
Not – I took a lot of in terms of sexy teams that we're watching that we're not sure what to think of. We'll include ours. I got what I wanted from Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
I got what I wanted from Philadelphia. I didn't get what I wanted from Minnesota.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's opponent that they played. I think there's some flaws too in their roster. I don't know about their shooting and maybe their defense, but I'm on their wagon, but not in the sense some people have them finishing as high as 4 or 5. I said no. I think they get in. I think they're in top 8, but not as high as some have them.
Devin Booker scored 12 points on 17 shots last night. Portland beat the Suns in Phoenix by 48 points. The largest home loss, home opening night loss in NBA history.
Phoenix fans knew it would be tough, but and that could have, like, let's say that happened here. Think about that with a feeling here. You know, when it's like you don't know what you have, you're excited about some young players. They are excited about some young players in Phoenix, and they should. And then you have that game, and you might have that game again later, but it's your first one. It's the first game, the excitement. Oh, man, that's
brutal. And it's against Portland.
Right.
And we like Portland. That's not a knock on Portland. It's not like if Houston had scored 139 last night, would anybody, like, really, would you have been surprised?
No.
The one thing you might have said is, damn, they put up 139 against us coming off a game against Golden State.
Yeah.
That was the only thing you could be like, damn, they put it to us a little bit. But Portland?
Right. A good team, not great.
No, right.
Not great. Where you, yeah, exactly.
They're like, trying to find themselves. Houston's not trying to find themselves. Yeah. There's 5-6 teams in the league that aren't trying to find themselves. Portland's trying to figure some things out, too.
Yeah.
In terms of being, you know, not they don't want to compete for the 8 seed this year.
Right.
They want to compete significantly higher than that. Rough start for Portland there.
Or Phoenix, yeah.
Phoenix, excuse me. 271 points in regulation. From the Pacers and the Nets yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that coming. No way.
We all did.
Yeah.
The over-under, I posted, the over-under was 217.
Oh, man.
They went 271.
Probably 140, did it by the third quarter.
140 to 131. 15 double-digit scores, but we lost another player for the entire season. And it's like, I hate this. We've told you since this show started, athletes always know, Jeremy Lin, when you go back and watch the video, he says, I'm done. He doesn't even react. He grabs his knee and he looks over at his teammates. He goes, I'm done. And then the shock wears off, the pain sets in, and he reacts. And I felt for him.
Yeah, and they have officially announced that he's out for the
season.
He's
gone.
The patella tendon tear, and just brutal for him. In that game, I always keep my eye on all the, like, the Kings, where they moved around to. Mm-hmm. Collison had a double-double. I think there were three double-doubles from the Pacers. And so they had a good night. And all those points, I just wouldn't have seen that in that game.
Yeah, nobody would have.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned former Kings. How about the former King? DeMarcus scored 28.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis scored 33.
Mm-hmm.
The other Pelicans, they scored 29.
Yeah.
Together.
That's their issue. I love the two bigs. I mean, that's going to be a unique tandem. Those two played great. DeMarcus had an amazing first quarter, which included a technical. But he was everywhere. He was great.
I just heard Kings fans laughing. I don't know how that happened. Yeah. I just heard them laughing through their radios.
There's no shooters. There's no help. There's no. I mean, they,
it's not going to work, Jason. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's not going to work.
So DeMarcus will be moved then, if that's the case, because I don't think it will work either. I think they'll threaten for that bottom part, but just threaten, and then you got to move them.
And let's give Fizz credit. That Memphis Grizzly team just hasn't missed a beat since Dave Yeager's come over here to Sacramento, and that's a testament to Fizdale and what they got going on there in Memphis. A couple other things I want to touch on. I mean, no one had a better night than Giannis Antetokounmpo, 37-13-13 to start his season. We'll talk about that. We'll talk more NBA. We haven't even gotten into baseball yet, Jason. I apologize. The Yankees move up one. It's 3-2 now. They sweep in New York, but they're headed back to Houston. Cubs get on the board. I didn't think that was going to happen.
Alive.
Kershaw still in play for game one of the World Series if the Dodgers are able to win tonight. We'll touch on all of that. We'll get back into basketball, but we're going to shift gears. The Raiders play tonight. We'll talk with Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star next here on The Lowdown.